This is Uprising. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. A new documentary chronicling the worlds of Texas oil executives, Nigerian government officials, and armed militants shows how competing interests over resources and power can warp whole nations. Rachel Boynton's documentary, Big Men, executive produced by actor Brad Pitt, follows in parallel the story of Nigeria's well-established oil industry and Ghana's new foray into the business of selling oil to foreign investors. An American company called Kosmos wins a lucrative contract with Ghana's government. With intimate access to the executives of Kosmos and the armed insurgents of Nigeria, Boynton exposes backroom wheeling and dealing in a way that is rarely seen on the big screen. Big Men opens today at the Sundance Sunset Cinema in Hollywood. That's at 8000 Sunset Boulevard. Here is an excerpt of the film.
The American model for people making money off of a single oil well is so different from the rest of the world.
Oh, yeah, because the minerals in the state of Texas, for instance, are owned by individuals. They're not owned by the state. You don't have a state-run oil company, and the money is actually going into the hands of people as opposed to into the state coffers to be stolen by whoever, which is the Nigeria model.
Do you ever worry about Ghana becoming like Nigeria?
Not really, because the people of Ghana can see good things coming for them personally in the future. It's human nature to want opportunity. That's pure and simple what it's all about.
That's an excerpt of the documentary Big Men, whose director now joins me in studio. Welcome to Uprising, Rachel Boynton.
Thank you for having me.
Well, your film has many stories that are sort of woven into it. It's a story that involves Dallas, Texas, and Ghana and Nigeria, and of course, oil. And you show how an American oil company contracts with the government of Ghana to exploit these newly discovered oil reserves. But then you draw parallels with Nigeria, which is a longtime oil producer, as an example of how the industry can wreak havoc. Now, it sounds complicated, but I have to say, in watching the film, it's pretty smooth and easy to understand. So was it challenging to tell all these parallel stories as a filmmaker?
That was the most challenging thing in the cutting room, was really trying to marry the different storylines. It was a very ambitious film. It's a very ambitious film and epic in its scope and its feel, I hope. And, you know, my ambitions with it were, I guess, kind of literary in a way. You know, I was sort of reaching for the deeper meaning in things. And in that sense, I was always very interested in the parallels and interested in how things and people and places related to each other. So as you said, it's Dallas and Ghana and Nigeria and also New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the film is called Big Men because it's about these themes of wanting to be big and self-interest and the way it affects all of these individuals and brings them together and tears them apart.
So the U.S. oil company in question, based in Dallas, Kosmos Energy, allowed you to film their executives in these intimate settings where they spoke freely about their intentions. How did you get that access, and did they have any idea what you were up to?
Well, I always try, you know, when I first approach people, any people, whoever it is, about being in a movie, I'm a pretty open person and I'm pretty transparent. And I try to let people know what my intentions are up front and say, okay, here are my intentions. And I let them know sort of the rules, I guess, from the beginning. If they want me to turn off the camera, I'll turn off the camera. And I will do my very best to show it to them before I show it to the public. But the footage is mine and I get to do what I want with it. And in order for a film like that to work, people have to trust you. And my belief is that if you're trustworthy, people will come to see that over time. I started by buying a plane ticket to Lagos, Nigeria, and I spent a year and a half traveling back and forth between Lagos and New York City, kind of like a crazy person, trying to meet every militant and oil worker and anyone I could get my hands on. And I drank a lot of beer with people. And I heard about this company called Kosmos Energy that was this privately held company that was exploring for oil off the coast of West Africa. That was their specialty. And they had not yet drilled their first well. ultimately, they said yes. I don't know why they said yes.
So Kosmos Energy got a pretty good deal with Ghana, as you show in your film, in terms of the percentage of profits they got to keep. And the executive that you profile and that you interview justifies this, saying that, well, they went in before they knew that Ghana had any oil. So because they took the big risks, they deserved the big rewards. And that's sort of an interesting... is that typical? Is that typical of how the oil industry expects to make their money?
Sure. You know, I think that's typical of how a lot of industries expect to make their money. The thing about this movie is that everyone believes that they're justified in getting a larger share. And the oil men would say we're justified because we took this huge risk and nobody knew there was oil here. And the government of Ghana would say, you know, we're justified because our people need more and it's our resources and it's under our soil and it's only right that our people benefit to a greater extent from it. So everyone has his opinion and his perspective. I do find, and I think other people will find when they watch the film, that everyone feels justified. And hearing why they feel justified, I think, is really interesting.
And so the other characters are the government officials in Nigeria, where the oil industry has had a long time to sort of play out the story. And it's also one of the most corrupt countries in the world. Is that because it has such a huge oil industry? I mean, do those things go hand in hand?
To a certain extent, yes. I think the thing that goes more hand-in-hand with corruption is the possibility of large amounts of cash.
So no matter what the industry...
It isn't so much, I think, about oil per se, as it is about the availability of a lot of money. And oil is worth a lot of money. So, you know, Nigeria is not the only nation in the world that has to deal with corruption. I mean, it's been the sort of the poster child for corruption for a long time. But that said, a lot of countries have to deal with corruption. And one of the fundamental questions in the film is sort of about the universality of the nature of greed. And the film is asking these questions about, is this divisive self-interest sort of inevitable? Is there a way around it? And it's one of the fundamental things that I'm trying to look at.
And then the other set of characters are the armed militants in Nigeria. They wear masks. And you also got very intimate access with them. Scenes in the film where you're talking to, you know, men who are just waving their guns around casually. What is their involvement in this picture?
Well, I knew you asked me earlier about access and things like that. And I started, when I first started thinking about this film, I started thinking about a film about the oil business, just in general. In the news, in basically late 2005, early 2006, when I was first thinking about this, this militancy started popping up in the news. And these militants were kidnapping oil workers in the Niger Delta of Nigeria and attacking oil pipelines. And those attacks were causing prices to skyrocket. And I thought, okay, well, there's got to be a movie there. So the militants were very intertwined with my original motivation for going to Nigeria. Their goals, their ambitions, I think, are a good representation of the ambitions of people who feel like the benefits haven't trickled down. And the lengths people have to go to or feel justified going to in order to get some sort of benefit from the oil. So really, the piece in Ghana is very much about the relationship between this company, this American company, and the Ghanaian government. And then the piece in Nigeria is very much about the relationship between the government and the people. And the militants are part of that, the people, really.
Right. There's an interesting scene in the documentary where you have a panel, I suppose it is, in Ghana, where there's a Norwegian who gives advice to the Ghanaians about how they should develop their oil industry. And his advice was basically give as little profit to the energy company coming in from the outside as possible, just enough to keep them there. And the Dallas, Texas guy, the Kosmos Energy guy, did not like that one little bit. And the sort of handshake moment that you capture there is really interesting. Tell us about that scene a bit.
Well, it is a kind of a wonderful little unexpected moment of candor where there's the scene, as you describe, with this official from Norway who has come to Ghana to advise the Ghanaian government. And he gives that speech, as you say. And afterwards, Jim goes out and he meets with the head of the Ghanaian National Petroleum Company and sort of offhandedly tells him how much he didn't like the Norwegian's advice. That moment is actually quite an interesting moment. I've shown this film 4 times now, I think, in Norway. The Norwegians love this movie, which kind of makes sense, I guess. But it's very funny to show it to a Norwegian audience because they watch that scene and they get very angry. Yeah. And they get very angry at Jim. And they say, well, how could Jim not want to pay his taxes?
Right.
And for us, you know, for Americans, we kind of see that and we go, oh, yeah, we don't want to pay our taxes. It's sort of a normal, like, right. Kind of makes you grin. But it is, that scene really does kind of get to a fundamental question.
Yeah, which he has this moment with, as you said, the energy partner in Ghana who assures him, don't worry, you will get your deal. And it made me, of course, think right away, so we, in 20, 30 years, will we see Nigeria play out in Ghana, which is also seems to be the one of the main questions in your film?
Well, I think Ghana and Nigeria are extremely different. I'm not sure that you're going to see exactly the same situation that you see in Nigeria and Ghana, but the questions that are laid out in Nigeria, these questions about who gets what and why, and how self-interest motivates different players.
Tell us about what big men and that term means in Nigeria.
When I first heard this term, I was just completely fascinated by it. You go to Nigeria and everywhere you go, from the parking lot to the hotel to the supermarket, doesn't matter where you are, anyone who's wearing a uniform is trying desperately to be as big as they possibly can by telling you, don't walk in the outdoor, walk in the in. Like, everyone's giving you instructions. Everyone wants to be influential. And everyone is talking, using the term big man and saying, I want to be the big man, or go see the big man. And, you know, that's a concept that we confront. I live in New York City. So I don't know if you guys in L.A. confront this all the time in L.A., but certainly in New York City, you see everywhere people wanting to be big. It's like part of life, right? Everyone wants to be big. That's the tagline for the movie. But in Nigeria, they talk about it. They talk about it in this incredibly open way. And that fascinated me. And it ultimately became something that I saw as really uniting every story and strand in the film.
Because the oil executives in Dallas want to be big men too in the end, right?
Well, you know, there's this great interview in the movie where I interview the Igbema king in the Delta. And I say to him, you know, tell me about this term big man. And he talks about it. And then I say, you know, it seems to me that everyone in Nigeria wants to be big. And he looks at me and he says, and you too. You want to be big too, mm-hmm. don't you? Everyone wants to be big. And I kept that in because, of course, it's true, right?
It is mostly men, though. In
oh, yes.
the film.
Yes, it is.
This is a world of men.
Big men.
You know, where you have sort of capitalism colliding with political structures and then militancy on the ground. But then you also have ordinary people. Where are the ordinary people? And where are the women? In Ghana, you talk to some people who are, you know, part of civil society, if you will.
There's not an enormous amount of civil society in this movie. There are some journalists, an activist or two. There are very few women in the movie. I think maybe there are two, if I think back. And me, of course. You hear me yeah. throughout it. Why is it all men? Well, it is. I mean, it's a world of men. Right. I didn't make it up. I didn't right. choose it. I found it. It is a world of men. The world is led by men in general. There are women in positions of power, of course. But the worlds of finance and power are basically ruled by men, and that's what the movie's about.
Well, best of luck to you, Rachel Boynton, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
My guest is Rachel Boynton. She is the director of the documentary Big Men, which opens today at the Sundance Sunset Cinema in Hollywood, 8000 Sunset Boulevard. You can find out more about the film at bigmenthemovie.com. Rachel's earlier film was called Our Brand is Crisis.